How decisive do you think their protest is? Or is it an inquiry? It's the latter, isn't it? They assume there's a reason for it, a good reason, but they don't see it yet. And they say at the end that if you could only satisfy about this, we would be very glad. There must be a reason. I've met more modern people join the society and friends say, we don't understand why friends do this. Well, you tell us. You're an old-timer. You belong to the original stock. These newly converted Quakers, they don't quite understand. I'm very glad they don't. I wish all newly converted Quakers would take the same attitude. They want to know why. Do they quote any precedent against slavery? I don't think they do. I don't know if they could. I don't know any, they couldn't quote the Old Testament, could they? So the Old Testament proves it's there. If they knew anything, and one of them certainly did, knew anything about classical history, they couldn't quote any example there. And there hadn't been, as far as I know, any protest by any Christian group or individual Christian. Perhaps a few hesitant questions. For instance, the very attitude of Fox and others who came to the West Indies was, be kind to your slaves. Remember that they are human beings. But nothing about freedom from slavery. Well, what do you make out to have been? What did they grasp at as a defense of their own new sensitivity? Any suggestion? How about the Golden Rule? More than once. More than once. Pretty good way to begin in any question of social relations. Any other matters prohibited in the Bible? Yes?
Adultery.
Kind of funny that the way we feel about slavery, that the objection to it is that it creates promiscuity. Now you understand why, in the treatment of the selling and reselling. So it treats promiscuity between husbands and wives. The marriage relation couldn't be kept intact. Well, isn't that going out of the wrong end, so to speak? Suppose you were like my friend that trying to abolish slavery in Saudi Arabia. What would you say to these Arabians? They're not Christians. And they're polygamists. Couldn't use this argument very well. After all, you understand this is a real problem. You know the United Nations is working on a universal bill of rights, and it might seem as though the right to liberty of every individual ought to be written into that bill. How are you going to put that across in Saudi Arabia, Yemen, places like that? You see, in that case, you're beginning to scratch like these German Quakers. Any other analogy? How about persecution, religious persecution? Doesn't that come in? What's the point
there? They mentioned that in Europe it's religious persecution, and in the colony it's because of race, persecution because of color.
Now this document, you understand, is addressed to English friends. in Pennsylvania, I mean British foreign friends. It's sent up to the next meeting. The whole of it didn't get in here, but this is passed by a local meeting, sent up to the monthly meeting. The monthly meeting reads it and thinks about it and passes it on up to quarterly meeting. The quarterly meeting reads it and thinks about it, makes a little minute about it, passes it up to the yearly meeting. So you see, it is a local problem that is referred to the next higher authority, step by step. And now this matter of freedom of conscience, matter that every Quaker in America was sensitive about, wasn't it? But that's what they come to. It's what they come away from in England. Again, a kind of curious parallel. Here you persecute people because of their color. There you persecute them because of your skin. Is it right for those of you who disapprove of the first to approve of the second? How about the first thing that we would talk about in our time, I suppose? Every man has a right to freedom. How long has that been a common idea? 1776, has it been? That's 100 years too early for this. There wasn't any document that they could quote, as far as I know, like the Declaration of Independence. And the interesting thing is, as you'll observe, that for 70 years, 90 years, nearly after the Declaration of Independence, we still didn't apply it to Negroes, is that right, in America. Any other argument that you observed? Yes?
There was an economic argument. They said that that when people in Europe heard how slaves were being herded as cattle in this country, that they wouldn't have any inclination to come over here.
Yeah. You mean the economic argument of a group that were trying to promote land sales or population increase in their own country? Mm-hmm. Real estate promotion. No, this is not a good idea. It's like a Florida land boom where you advertise that the mosquitoes are very, very bad. Something, it's just an out about this land boom. It they don't like this. How do they know that the people, they're talking about Holland and Germany, aren't they? How do they know the people in Holland and Germany won't like it? Yeah?
Well, they're from Germany and they probably came through Holland.
Yeah. Well, I guess they infer that they don't like it. It bothers them. And when it's reported over there, they don't think they like it. Any appeal to Quaker pride?
They appeal to a sense of Christian superiority to the Turks.
Yes.
Who do have slaves.
And all other Christians who are critical of the Quakers will be looking for something to find fault with in a purely Quaker government like Pennsylvania. The word envious, they look with envious eye, means they'll be, it's bad. In other words, this is good public relations, not only for economic reasons, but for religious reasons. And that is part of their argument. Well, maybe there are other arguments we ought to mention. These are certainly some of the outstanding ones. Oh yes, there's another one. Is there any danger of violence from the slaves? There is, isn't there? And then what? Yeah?
Then you'd be in the position that the slaves were in.
Turn things around. They'll make you slaves. Do you think they really will? Or do you think the whites will take that line down? Even the Quakers, they wonder whether they won't use arms violence. And of course, where does that bring you? That brings you squarely against the Quaker pacifism. Because Quakers wouldn't fight against the Indians, they wouldn't fight against the French, or any other European government, but if there were domestic slave revolts, they'd be strongly tempted to put them down. Well, if you're a pacifist and believe in freedom of religion and believe in chastity, marital chastity, and believe in the superiority of Quakerism to other forms of religion. That's an awfully funny way to base your attitude towards slaves. You would think that the humanitarian point of view would come out, wouldn't you? Not very obvious, is it? I guess it's there in the Golden Rule. But if you put yourself in their place, you wouldn't like to be treated that way. But it's a very secondary. And above all, the egalitarian, that is, the democratic political principle, isn't there at all.